Welcome to the broadcast of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. We are located at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, and we're so glad you've tuned in. We pray that today's message is truly a blessing to you. If you desire prayer, our ministers are available to pray with you. Give us a call at 803-776-1238. Or call us toll-free at 1-888-776-1238. Today, Pastor Daryl Jackson shares the message titled, The Power of Kindness and Goodness, Kindness Rewarded.
Yeah. Sometimes, sometimes we have to remind ourselves that he's still God and he's still good. That's next Sunday's message. We get to that. There's a word from the Lord in this series entitled The Power of Kindness and Goodness. This is the third message of four messages in this series. This morning I invite you to go with us to the book of Ruth, chapter 2, verses 10 through verse 12, the New Living Translation. This message is for everyone who the enemy has told that all that you do does not matter, and that you'll never get it back. Look at somebody and say, the devil is a liar. There's still a blessing in being kind and good. Ruth chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, the New Living Translation. Hear the reading of God's holy word. Ruth fell at his feet, at the feet of Boaz, and thanked him warmly. What have I done to deserve such kindness? She asked of Boaz. For I am only a foreigner or a stranger. Yes, I know, Boaz replied. But I also know about everything you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I have heard how you left your father and mother and your own land to live here among complete strangers. Verse 12 is where the subject for today's message is found. May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you have done. I need you to bless somebody and say, may the Lord, the God of Israel, reward you fully for what you have done. And the church said amen. For the next few moments, I want to talk to you from the subject, kindness rewarded. Look at somebody as you take your seat and say, you will see it again. Clap those hands and take your seat. Kindness rewarded. In the first message of this series, it was stated, we said in the first message, that kindness and goodness are reflections of the character of God living through us as people of faith. If you want to know if someone is saved or not, check out how kind they are. See how good they are to just ordinary people. The fruit of the Spirit. Paul says the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness. To those of us who are believers, to those of us who live our lives walking by faith and not by how we feel or what we see, kindness and goodness have been described as a divine calling in a cold and harsh world. Look at somebody and say, it is your calling. A whole lot of folks says, I'm looking for a ministry. Here is one. Okay. You've got a ministry, the ministry of being kind and good. Everybody want to do something? Here is something to do. Treat people right. Be kind. Be good. It's a divine. When the world sees how you treat other people, then it glorifies our Father who is in heaven. We are living ambassadors of Christ on earth. If you're going to call yourself a believer and a Christian, then act right at the grocery store, at the Little League sporting events, when they're hard on your kids. Don't lose it, because we're different. Amen. We are representing the kingdom of God. Listen, God said this to me in the first message, and I've repeated in every message since. When we choose kindness and goodness over bitterness, that's God. When we choose indifference over bitterness, and we choose indifference over when we choose kindness, let me say it again, and goodness over indifference, look at somebody and say, that's God. When you choose kindness and goodness, and this is probably more relevant today than ever before, over revenge. Say it again, Pastor. When you choose kindness and goodness over revenge, look at somebody and say, that's God. We are the living testimonies of the good news of the gospel. When they slap us on one side of the face, Jesus says, turn the other. When they take one piece of our garment, give away the other. Why? Because we are different. We have something in us that will not allow us to respond like the world. We represent the kingdom of God. And so God has given us an assignment. And our assignment in today's message is to explore how kindness unlocks the favor of God in our lives. Somebody shout favor. If you want to be blessed by God, if you want the favor of God to bless and overtake you, then kindness unlocks the favor of God in our lives. Now, perhaps to some people, our acts of kindness may seem small. Some people, our acts of kindness may seem insignificant, but to God, they are the keys that open doors to supernatural blessings. I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings. If you want to know how to get a blessing, become a blessing. May I say that again? If you want to receive a blessing, become a blessing. And you can't get tired because it doesn't happen all at once. You can't get tired because things don't go the way you desired for them to go. For Paul writes in Galatians 6 and 9, and let us not become weary in well-doing, for in due season or at the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if you don't give up. Is there anybody who know that your blessings are on its way? Anyone know that you serve a God that cannot lie? He's not the son of man that he ought to repent. If God said it, it shall come to pass. I want you to know that you may not be blessed right now, but your blessing can be on its way. How many of you know that God is still in the blessing business? Listen, it's so easy to look around at what is going on in our world and we become discouraged. But I want you to know that we still serve a God that is still in charge. And when God decides to turn the situation around, nobody can do it but God. Nothing can happen without God's approval. So you've got to hold on and just be steadfast and know that if God said it, that settles it. You are one blessed somebody whether you look like it or not. You are going to be blessed whether it feels like it or not. If you do what God has asked you to do, something good is coming your way, whether folk tell you or not. You have to have the faith to know that I trust God. Cedric and the team told us, I still believe God. Anyone, Janelle said, I believe. Do you still believe? All the believers, don't you fool me. I just need a handful of believers. I just need more than a handful of folk just to stand to your feet, clap your hands, and declare, I trust God. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. May be hard, but I trust you. May be difficult, but I trust you. Somebody know I trust God. Let me tell you something. No matter what you've done, you will be rewarded for your acts of kindness. Your generosity has not gone unnoticed. Ooh, God is still in charge. And God will bless at his given time. In other words, we will be rewarded for our kindness if we don't give up. Don't become discouraged. Don't get tired. Trust God and watch God make a way. Listen, in this incredible text for today's message that God has given us, let us examine what is perhaps one of the greatest lessons in the Bible of a reward of kindness. And it involves a lady from an obscure place called Moab by the name of Ruth. Ruth's story is one of faithfulness and genuine acts of kindness, which position her for supernatural favor. Here is it again. Somebody say favor. And listen to this, a divine breakthrough in her life. Divine breakthroughs happen when you least expect it. Divine breakthroughs happen and you wake up one morning and go, when did this happen? And God said, I was making a way always. Ooh, somebody ought to say, I believe he's still a way maker. I believe that God still makes a way. Supernatural favor and a divine breakthrough. Can I just take a moment to put Ruth's story in some context? Ruth was not only an outsider from the land of Moab. She was a widow. Her husband had died. But she was from what is known as an obscure, strange place. Now, in order to fully understand the Moabites and the story of Ruth for Moab, I've got to go a little bit in Genesis chapter 19. And in Genesis chapter 19, we hear the story of Lot after the burning of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we find out that Lot's wife had been destroyed because what? She looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. In chapter 19, can I preach this? Lot finds himself in a cave. And because Lot's wife was dead, Lot's daughters thought, we'll take it upon ourselves to make sure that our family lineage is continued. And so the two daughters of Lot got Lot drunk. And they both had sexual relationships with their father. I'm preaching to somebody. The first daughter had a son, and they named him Moab. So the land of Moab came as a result of incestual relationship between daddy and daughter. Outsiders looked bad upon. Nobody wanted to respect you. You were born, you were created out of incest. Who are you? And you lived on the other side of the track. Moab was that land that had people that looked a little differently. They may be a little bit darker, hair not as refined as others. They may have had some physical characteristics that made them look a little different than the people of Judah. Somebody say outsiders. But when God gets ready to use somebody, God can use whoever he chooses to use. I just want to make sure I'm in the right place. Some of you don't mind testifying. Are there any outsiders in here that folk ever gave up on you and said that your family wasn't the best, you would not be the best? But look what God, I just need a handful of folk that know you grew up on the other side of the track. You grew up not having everything handed to you, not on a silver spoon. You didn't go to Jack and Jill. You didn't have bougie parents. You grew up and folks say you may not ever make it, but look at you. Look at somebody, say, look at me now. The land of Moab, created in Genesis 19 and 37 out of incest between a daughter and a father that created a nation. So Ruth lived in Moab. Ruth has a mother-in-law by the name of Naomi. Naomi and her husband moved to Moab when there was a famine in Judah. May I preach this? The food in Bethlehem had dried up. God knows how to move you. God knows how to move you off your spot into where God wants. See, some of you ought to embrace adversity, because if it had not been for adversity, you would still be in that jacked up relationship. Come on, somebody. If it had not been for adversity, some of you still would be in the mess that you were in. But ooh, look at, may I preach to somebody? Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, promise, say, problems and trouble push me out of my comfort zone. And the only reason I ended up in a better place is because trouble took me out of my comfortable place. May I preach? Such was the case for Naomi. She goes to Moab. She has two sons. Her two sons married two daughters of Moab, Orpah and Ruth. However, Naomi's husband dies, leaving Naomi a widower. Naomi then loses her two sons. Look at the story. Tell your neighbor, check out the story. Everybody has a story. Before you throw a pity party, I just want you to know everybody's got a story. Naomi loses her husband and her two sons. Now Ruth is a widower living with her mother-in-law, who is a widower. They decide that we've heard that the famine has been lifted out of Jerusalem. And now God knows how to take you back to where he wants you to go. Somebody ought to help me preach this and tell your neighbor, neighbor, God knows how to take you back to where you started from. Won't he do it? Sometimes God takes you away from there just so you can see how good God is. But God sends Naomi back to Bethlehem, back to Judah. Naomi says to her two daughters, you know the story. I say it at every wedding I've conducted. Says to her two daughters, you don't have to go with me. Stay here in your homeland. One of them took her advice, but Ruth says, where you live, I will live. Where you go, I will go. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Ruth knew that if I don't take care of Naomi, who can take care of her? There were no social networks that took care of people. There was no social security. There was no Medicare. There weren't no food stamps. If you didn't have money, then you had to get by the best way you knew how. And Ruth knew that I've got to do my best to take care of Naomi. So Naomi, I want you to know that this little outside girl from Moab with the little brown skin and the not so nice hair is gonna go and take care of you. I'm not looking for anything. I just wanna do what God has told me to do. So she returns to Judah. She returns to Bethlehem, and they do what everybody did during that day when they didn't have food to eat. They went to somebody else's fields and they picked the leftovers. I'm preaching now. I don't want you to miss this. So here's how the poor survive. The law said every farmer, every plantation owner, leave a little leftovers in the fields, so that the disadvantaged, the widows, the poor, can go and glean, pick the leftovers from the field. And so Ruth, thank God, I've got to take care of my mother-in-law. And I hear that there's a field down the street owned by a man that I've never met, don't know him, but somebody told me his name was Boaz. And he allowed us to go with everybody else to pick leftovers in the field. Ruth's kindness towards Naomi wasn't all steeped in who Ruth thought she was. Just for the record, Ruth was not bougie. Just for the record, I'm sure Ruth could not get her nails and toenails and hair done every week. She was too broke, too poor, had to work too hard for that. So here's what Sister Ruth did. She went to the fields and put her hand in the dirt. So you know she wasn't looking for a man. Sweating, can't get my hair done, got no money to make it, on my knees with my hand in the dirt. But when God gets ready to bless you, God knows how to find you where you are. So some of you are too cute to get your next blessing. Some of you are trying too hard to find somebody to get your next blessing. For the record, Ruth did not seek Boaz. I don't
don't want anybody else to come ask me to pray for them because you're looking for your Boaz. That ain't even scripture, because Ruth didn't look for Boaz. Boaz saw. Can I preach? May I preach? So what did Ruth do? Ruth went to the fields. Ruth put her hand in the dirt. Ruth gleaned the leftovers. And somebody noticed her kindness and her faithfulness. And somebody saw Ruth doing what nobody else would do. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, keep doing what God has called you to do. Serving the Lord will pay off after a while. Anybody know after a while? And so Boaz noticed Ruth and took note of Ruth's acts of kindness. Boaz went to Ruth and says, I am going to give you more than just the leftovers. I'm gonna fill every basket you have, and you will take home with you and to your mother-in-law Naomi not just what is left over, but I'm gonna fill your basket. Somebody throw those Holy Ghost hands up and say, fill my basket, Lord. Anybody know God will fill? Oh, I just need a handful of witnesses. I just need somebody that nobody gave you anything, but God bless you like only God can do. I just need a handful of folk that would jump up and say, Lord, I thank you for filling my basket. Where did you get all of this? Ruth said, there's a man who came to me. And Naomi said, what's his name? I think his name is Boaz. Girl, do you know who that is? But when you're busy doing what God called you to be, you don't have time to be looking for men or women or anybody else but God. I just need about 50 people to know that your focus is still on God and say, but God. Tell somebody, baby, if you want to date me, you better come to church. If you want to see me, you better pray. But God. Naomi said to Ruth, this is Boaz, one of the richest men in all of Israel. Not only is he rich, not only is he famous, but he is one of your late husband's kinsmen. I wish I had time to preach this, because there was a Jewish law that says that when your husband dies with a widow with no children, it was up to the nearest kinsman to take care of that widow. If they were not married, they are to marry her so that the late husband's name would continue. It's called in Hebrew theology kinsman redemption. And so what happens was, Naomi says, this was no ordinary man. This was a kinsman of your late husband. But Ruth said, I don't know, all I'm doing, my hands in the dirt, trying to get some food for us to eat. She was genuine and she was authentic. Can I say that again? I don't know about you, but I'm so sick of non-genuine, non-authentic people. We've got too many fake people around here. They don't want to do nothing, but when you're genuine and you are authentic, then you do what God has called you to do, because you're not looking for anybody. You just want to do what God has called you to do, and God will make a way somehow. But what Ruth did not know was that her situation was about to change. Woo. Look at somebody and say, neighbor, your situation is about to change. A divine door of opportunity was about to be opened on her behalf simply because she was genuine and authentic. If you're looking for somebody, seek God first and watch God bless you with who you need. Can I preach to somebody? Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will come after that. How many of you made up your mind, for God I live and for God I will die? I don't care if I don't impress anybody else. I just want to be faithful for God. Ruth was a hard working, no bougie, no this. All I want to do is do what God told me to do and watch God bless. Boaz noticed Ruth. But even before Boaz had taken note of Ruth, God took note. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Look at what Boaz and Ruth had a conversation in verses 10 through 12. Ruth fell at his feet and thanked him warmly. What have I done to deserve such kindness? Yes, I know, Boaz replied, but I also know everything about you and what you've done for your mother-in-law since your own husband has died. I know that you don't have much, but yet you were so kind to somebody else. I have heard how you left your father and mother and your own land to live here among complete strangers. I know what you've done. I take notice. Can I preach to somebody? Is there anybody looking for a blessing? Then you've got to be a blessing. You've got to stop looking for the right man, the right woman, and look for the right thing, which is the favor of God in your life. Somebody know, Lord, I need you right now. I just need a handful of folk that are waiting on God for your next move, waiting on God for your next hookup. You can't hook it up. It has to be God. Look at what happened next. Boaz says, may the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come, take refuge. And here it is. Here it is. May God reward you fully for what you have done. If God blesses you, no other blessing matters. Nothing else matters. May God reward you for. Look at what happened. Can I tell the story? Somebody shout back, say, tell the story, Pastor. Not only did Boaz give Ruth extra harvest from his fields, he went on to marry her, becoming her kinsman redeemer. Now, let me briefly tell you how that happened, because there was somebody ahead of Boaz that was closer in family relationship than Boaz who had the right to marry Ruth. And in order for Boaz to marry Ruth, this person had to decline. But this person did not want no woman looking like Ruth. Preach, Pastor Jackson. This person wasn't looking for no woman from Moab with that kind of hair, with your hand in the dirt. No, I don't want no country girl like Ruth. I'm waiting on my Bathsheba. Preach, Pastor Jackson. Look what Bathsheba takes you, okay? And so he passed up, and Boaz marries Ruth. Somebody shout favor. Can we set this up? Husband dead, strange land, strange people. I don't look like them. I don't have what they have. Who would want me? Somebody shout favor. When God gets ready to set you up, it's nothing but the favor of God. Boaz skips over all the pretty women of Israel. Boaz passes up on all the designer women of Israel. Preach, Pastor Jackson. Boaz passes up all the fine nails, fake hair. I started to say fake some mess, but y'all know where I want to go. Can't go there right now, okay? Passes up all of that for dark skin, nappy head, dirty fingernails. But God, I just need a handful of folk and say, neighbor, when God gets ready to bless you, God will turn your situation around. Boaz chose Ruth. Ruth didn't find. Say it again, Pastor. Boaz found. Ruth didn't find. And so here's what happened. So he marries Ruth. But that's not how. Y'all gonna make this boy preach. That's not how the story is. Ruth and Boaz gave birth. Ruth gave birth to a son. By the name of Obed. Naomi takes Obed back to the village, and the women said to Naomi, God has been better to you than what seven others could have been. If God be for you, who can be against you? But that's not how the story is. Obed has a son by the name of Jesse. I'm going somewhere. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, look at God. Watch God make a way out of no way. Jesse has a son by the name of David, the greatest king of Israel. The Lord is my shepherd, David. I shall not want. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, David. That David, I lift my eyes to the hill, that David. Jesse has a son by the name of David who became the greatest king of Israel, and David's great grandmother. Had her hand. Y'all, can I preach a message next year called Hands in the Dirt? I know y'all got one called Boots on the Ground, but I just want to say Hands in the Dirt. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, sometimes you've got to be willing to put your... Can I give some advice to somebody? Don't you marry somebody who ain't willing to put their hands in the dirt. Women, don't you marry a man whose fingernails look better than yours. Woo. I'm gonna find me a new church to go to next week. Don't you marry a man who think he's cuter than you. Don't you marry a man who's afraid to sweat around you. You better marry somebody that don't mind putting their hands. better go to the country and find you a good wife. Find you an old country wife that don't mind putting their hands in them. I think there's some country. Go to St. Stephen. Go to Monk's Corner. Go to Beaufort. Because if you, here it is, I got to go. If you trust that God will make whoever's for you right for you, it doesn't matter where they came from, what they went through, but God will make it right. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Somebody help me give God a praise for what God is about to do. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, God's about to turn it around. Get ready, God's about to turn it around. Ruth became the great-grandmother of the greatest king of Israel because Ruth was willing to put her hand. Woo! Somebody ought to help me praise God. Stand to your feet all over this place. Look at somebody and say, it's called favor. Three key takeaways. I want you to get this. Whew. I feel like running. I feel like somebody. Just hold it. Hold it. Hold it until we get to takeaway number three. Takeaway number one is this. Here's the first key takeaway from today's message. The kindness, help me with this. Look at somebody and say, the kindness that God expects from us must always be genuine and authentic. Now please don't say, I ain't talking about you, but the pastor told me to say it, so I got to say it. So just look at somebody and say, don't fake it. Wave at somebody on the other side of the church and say, don't fake it. I'm sick of fake stuff. Okay. Yeah. Second key takeaway. No act of kindness is too small or insignificant. Often it's the little things we do that will have the greatest impact. Who would have believed that on your knees in the dirt, picking leftovers for your mother-in-law would lead for the great-grandmother of the greatest king of Israel? Who would have believed that? Who would have believed that the most eligible man in all of Israel would see somebody like Ruth? But he saw her being kind to his mother-in-law. And here's the third and the final one. Ooh, look at your neighbor, say, get ready, get ready. The third and the final one. Everybody find you a praise partner. We're not hugging and touching right now, but just wave at somebody and say, the reward of genuine and authentic kindness is God's favor. Now just tell somebody, get ready for favor. Get ready for favor. Get ready. Come on, get ready. Get ready for favor. Get ready. Get ready for God's favor. Give God a praise for his favor. For surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. God's favor, God's favor, God's favor is your reward for kindness. You don't even know it, but God has favored you. When you woke up this morning and you avoided the accident you never saw, it's the favor of God. When God put food on your table, it's the favor of God. When your children came home from school last week without harm or danger. It was the... I need somebody to help me praise God for his favor. Somebody shout favor. Somebody shout... God favored me. When he touched your body, listen, when you did not get cancer, when you thought it was cancer and it came back negative, it was... When God healed your body, it... When God made a way out of nowhere, meet me at the altar. You got 60 seconds to open your mouth and give God a Shabbat praise for his favor. God, come on to you. God favored me. God favored me. Look at your name and say, name. God favored me. Neighbor, I am still alive because God favored me. I have breath in my body because God. Oh. Anyone know that God has favored? Come on. Thank him for his right. That's right. One more time. Clap those hands. Can I tell you something? Listen, hold on. Ruth did not ask for anything. Four chapters in the book of Ruth, you can't find one time in which Ruth asked for anything. I'm going somewhere. I'm hearing God says as we conclude this message, you don't even have to ask for it. I know your needs before you know it. I know your thoughts before you think it. How many of you know that when God favors you, you don't even have to ask for it, but you just trust that God has favored me? Bishop Hezekiah Walker writes this song. Love is patient, caring, love is kind. Love is felt most when it is genuine. I've had my share of love abuse. I've been manipulated, it's strengthened misuse, and I can't help but give you the glory. Ooh, this is the part that I like. When I think about my story, can y'all put that line on the board for a minute? I can't help but give you the glory. When I think about my story. One more time, somebody lift those hands and say, Lord, I can't help but give you the glory. When I think about my story, and I know you favored me because my enemies did what? Not triumph over me. Somebody ought to clap those hands and say, thank God for favor. Come on. But right now, all over this place, lift those hands all over this place. Been abused, manipulated. Misused, and I can't but when I think him, and I know. Love is patient. Listen, look at it. One more time. This is for you. Everybody listening by way of radio. Everybody worshiping virtually. This is for you. It's patient. It's kind. Love is felt. When it's genuine, but I've had of love. Have you ever been manipulated? And strength, but I can't. Sometimes they whisper, listen, conspired, they told their lies, my character, my integrity, my faith, God will not, won't compromise. Those eyes. Lift those hands. The story of Ruth is this. You just do the work. Watch God do the rest. You just do the work. Watch God do the rest. You don't have to conspire. You don't have to try anything that's not godly. You don't have to compromise your principles, who you are, or what you believe. Watch God do the rest. Kindness rewarded is the favor of God. That's your reward. That's your reward. Maybe there's someone here.
You have been listening to the worship service of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. Our worship services are open to all at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, just off Interstate 77 between Shop and Bluff Roads. We will continue to air our services here on the radio. We are also streaming live on our website at bwcar.org, on Facebook at Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, and on YouTube. Our streaming services are available live on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m., and on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. If you missed any of our services or want to watch them again, you can get them on demand on any of our social media channels. We invite you to stay in spiritual fellowship with us. To place your order for a CD or DVD of today's sermon titled The Power of Kindness and Goodness, Kindness Rewarded, please call us at 803-776-1238. Reference sermon number 09-2125. Again, that telephone number is 803-776-1238. Sermon number 09-2125. October is Worship and Arts Month at Bible Way. Friday, October 3rd, 7 p.m. in the sanctuary, the Worship and Arts Ministry will host a night of impartation, prayer shut-in, with special guests, Senior Associate Pastor Alva Lawson and Associate Pastor Willie Mae Jackson. If you've been praying to God for spiritual discernment in this year of spiritual empowerment, this is the service you do not want to miss. Friday, October 3rd, 7 p.m. at Bible Way. Saturday, October 4th, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Join the Worship and Arts team for a Divine Praise citywide dance recital and workshop. Dance workshops are $15 per person. The recital is free and open to the public. Register online at bwcar.org and join us for this day of divine praise. We praise God for the testimonies of those who have received Christ and now have a deeper relationship with God as a result of this ministry. To sow a financial seed into this ministry, you can give online by clicking the link on our website at bwcar.org, or you can give right from your mobile phone by texting BWCAR and your giving amount to the number 73256. You can also mail your gift to Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, Post Office Box 90309, Columbia, South Carolina 29290. Please do not mail cash. Financial donations are being accepted at the church on Tuesdays from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. We thank you for your continued support of this ministry. At Bible Way, our mission is to know God, to love, and to serve.